Dear friends in Christ, our midweek Lenten series this year comes from the book of Zechariah. Zechariah was a prophet who spoke to God's people near the end of the Old Testament period. He ministered to the remnant of people who returned from the Babylonian and Persian captivity to Jerusalem. Zechariah would have been the prophet to encourage the people to rebuild the city of Jerusalem, to rebuild the temple of the Lord, working with individuals like Zerubbabel, Nehemiah, and Ezra. But most importantly, Zechariah led the people to their Savior, who in the grand scheme of history was soon to be born. Zechariah's prophecies provide many vivid and pointed messianic pictures of the work of Jesus our Savior, especially concerning his suffering and death. So to guide our Lenten journey this year, we take a look at some of those prophecies. We look at their place in history, their place in Scripture, but we ultimately look at what we can gain from them for our lives today and for the strengthening of our faith and trust in that very same Savior. The title of our series this year is called Yahweh Remembers, which is exactly what the name Zechariah means. These messages from God's Word tell us how He remembered His people at the time of their greatest need. Not just providing for their earthly needs, not just giving them a homeland again and helping them rebuild their city and their homes, but He remembered them in the affliction of their sins. And He remembered to make good on that promise that He had given of a Savior who would conquer sin, death, and Satan. Our first image through the prophecies of Zechariah this evening is that of Jesus as our humble King. And we read from Zechariah chapter 9, verses 9 through 11. Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, your King is coming to you. He is just and having salvation, lowly and riding on a donkey, a colt, the foal of a donkey. I will cut off the chariot from Ephraim and the horse from Jerusalem. The battle bow shall be cut off. He shall speak peace to the nations. His dominion shall be from sea to sea and from the river to the ends of the earth. As for you also, because of the blood of your covenant, I will set your prisoners free from the waterless pit. Through these holy words of God this evening, inspired by the Holy Spirit, we see Jesus as our humble King, who came to wield a different type of power and who earns a different type of fear. Many of you are probably familiar with this prophecy of Jesus. Its connection to the Lenten season is very clear. The hymn we just sang is directly relatable to these very words. And it speaks of the entrance of Jesus into Jerusalem on Palm Sunday at the very beginning of Holy Week, when Jesus made a point to ride a baby donkey into Jerusalem. It was done with the full intent to fulfill these words from Zechariah. He wanted Old Testament believers who knew their scriptures, who knew what Zechariah had promised through the Lord, to see that fulfillment with their own eyes. Sometimes these words are also applied to the season of Advent as we think of our humble King born in a manger, ready for His mission on earth. But you might not also realize that this chapter of Zechariah makes reference to another king who fulfilled a prophecy from God. In the earlier verses of the chapter, Zechariah spent a good deal of time speaking about the nation of Tyre. At this time, Tyre was a sort of a city-state. They didn't have a lot of land, but they were a huge political force at that time. Tyre is spoken of by other prophets as well, and from time to time in the history of God's people, they would either ally with Israel or they would plague Israel. At this current juncture, near the end of the Old Testament chronology, Tyre was an enemy to God's people. They did not want to see the people of Israel return to Jerusalem and become prosperous again. They were going to do everything in their effort and their power to keep that from happening. They wanted to maintain their control and influence in the region. And so at the beginning of the chapter, Zechariah talks about how Tyre is allying themselves with Syria to the north and Philistia to the south to try to choke out God's people in Jerusalem. But God had a plan to protect his people, to establish a safety net for them so that his son could be born as promised. And this is where the first king of Zechariah chapter 9 comes in, and it's not Jesus Christ. In response to Tyre's aggression against Israel, God promised a day of judgment for them, a day when their kingdom would meet ruin and destruction. Verse 3 of the chapter reads this way: Tyre has built herself a rampart and heaped up silver like dust and fine gold like the mud of the streets. But behold, the Lord will strip her of her possessions and strike her down in her power on the sea, and she shall be devoured by fire. The city of Tyre trusted in their wealth and their strategic position. And why shouldn't they have? Zechariah tells us they had so much silver and gold that it was like the dust and the mud to them. They didn't even need it. You see, the thing about Tyre is they congregated the main part of their kingdom on a tiny island just a half mile off the coast. And they boasted in their military naval might so that nobody could touch them and nobody could break through their fortifications. In fact, a couple hundred years before this, the king Nebuchadnezzar, whom we also know in Scripture from Babylon, he tried to attack Tyre. He tried to break through their defenses, and he failed miserably. In fact, it was the beginning of the end for Nebuchadnezzar's power. Zechariah was no doubt demeaned as a crazy hermit for the suggestion that Tyre could fall from its power and influence. Yet once again, as the book of Proverbs reminds us, a man's heart plans his way, but the Lord directs his steps. It was in the year 332 BC, about 200 some years after Zechariah, that a great Macedonian king by the name of Alexander the Great brought his armies into the northern reaches of the Middle East. And Alexander the Great had heard of Tyre's influence and power. He knew he would not be able to control the region without knocking out this tiny island nation. So he made his way to the coastal metropolis, and much like Nebuchadnezzar before him, he failed at being able to assault the walls of Tyre. He couldn't penetrate the island stronghold. Yet undeterred, Alexander then began building a 60-foot-wide causeway to go from the mainland and to breach that half-mile channel to the island fortification. It took quite a while for Alexander and his forces to do this, 6 months in all, but finally they broke through the city walls once they had this land bridge created, and they destroyed the city of Tyre with fire. Alexander's causeway still exists to this day. It's a reminder of this ancient battle. But more importantly, and more impressively, it's a reminder of how the Lord's word was fulfilled 200 years after Zechariah gave this prophecy. You can imagine being a citizen of the city of Tyre and seeing Alexander the Great coming with his armies. What a sight that must have been. What terror must have filled their hearts to know that they had nowhere to go at this point. It's quite a majestic scene, isn't it, when we see a king approaching. It's unmistakable. But the thing about the majesty and the grandeur of seeing a king come is that it doesn't always mean something positive for your life. It depends on what your relationship to that king is. Alexander wielded great power and terror over his foes. He choked out all literal and metaphorical hope that the city of Tyre had, and he filled them with a sense of dread. His arrival was unmistakable, probably magnificent, but it wasn't very promising for them. The second king of Zechariah chapter 9 was vastly different. Because first of all, he came wielding a very different type of power. Zechariah tells us that this king is just and having salvation, lowly and riding on a donkey. Israel knew even more than Tyre what it felt like to suffer bondage under a foreign king, to be conquered, to have that hopeless feeling of knowing that there was no escape. Israel had gone through this same thing on a number of occasions with other foreign powers. And to have a king who brought salvation, to have a king coming who was just, that certainly would have been a welcome sight. But the neat thing about this king is not that he was a savior, or not that he was just, but it was how he wielded that power. Lowly, humble. So Jesus, the King of all creation, the arbiter of justice and salvation, would ride a baby donkey into battle. There was obviously no literal purpose behind this. Jesus wasn't going to conquer any worldly army on a donkey. But it was a direct message of his mission here on earth, of his willingness to serve you, of his willingness to suffer for the sins of the world, of his willingness to give of himself to others. That's the kind of power that Jesus wielded. This prophecy was fulfilled on Palm Sunday as Jesus rode that donkey into Jerusalem to conquer the greatest enemy that faces all of us, the condemnation that we deserve over our sins. The Apostle Paul reminds us of what this enemy is. He says, our battle is not against flesh and blood, but against rulers, against authorities, against the worldly powers of darkness, against spiritual forces of evil in the heavens. Think about the people of Tyre on their island. That's desperation. But when you contemplate sin in your life, how can fallen people like us have any hope to mount any sort of resistance against an enemy like that, let alone win the victory? But the humble king did. Because that humble king also fought in a way that was even more amazing than Alexander the Great. He gave his life in place of those whom he loved. The Apostle Paul again explains the way that Jesus won the victory when he tells the people from Philippi, make your own attitude the same as Christ Jesus, who though in the form of God did not consider his equality with God as something to be used for his own advantage. Instead, he emptied himself, assumed the form of a slave, took the likeness of men, and when he had come as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even to death on a cross. Because of this unique power of our humble King that gained for us an impossible victory, Jesus also earns a different type of fear. He's not a king like Alexander the Great who paralyzes his enemies with intimidation, though he certainly could if he wanted to. Rather, Jesus is interested in a much deeper and more fulfilling relationship with his subjects than that of a master among servants. Zechariah tells us, Jesus speaks peace. Jesus demolishes the tools of human warfare. Jesus' kingdom unites mankind, not under strict rules, not under obligations, but under the bond of faith. Jesus desires to build a trusting relationship with you, a relationship where you come to learn and believe in him, not as a terror, not as a threat, not as someone to punish you, but as someone who loves you, as someone who is willing to go through anything, even death, in order to redeem you. That kind of trust that Jesus wants to have with you, that builds a form of respect in your heart, a type of fear that honors the Master, but in deep admiration and in deep gratitude. In that same spirit, Zechariah continued the rest of his chapter by declaring the Lord's promises through this humble king. He says in verses 16 and 17, "The Lord their God will save them in that day as the flock among his people, for they shall be like jewels of a crown, like a banner over his head. For how great is his goodness, and how great is his beauty." That's how God describes you, the one who trusts in Jesus Christ with a humble attitude of obedience, fear, and respect, born out of the grace that your Savior showed for you on the cross. You are like jewels on his crown as king. To the world around us, a king who rides on a donkey is a punchline and a joke. But to us who know Jesus, to us who believe in Jesus, it's a perfect picture of his loving attitude toward undeserving sinners like us. For Israel, in a time of political chaos and danger, God first gave this picture through the prophet Zechariah as one of the many markers of who his son would be when he came. We rejoice in that sign today as we remember Yahweh, as we remember the mercy and faithfulness that he shows to us every single day that does not change no matter what we face. As we continue following Jesus this Lenten season and beyond, let us take his attitude of service as our own. Not that people would see our piety, not that people would boast in us and how well we know God and how well we follow his word, but that people would see Jesus more clearly through us, that his light would shine in our thoughts, words, and actions, that they, too, would honor and know the humble King. God grant this to us all. In the name of Jesus and through the power of his grace, amen. Please rise.